Just kick off the recording. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, honor you, and praise you. We thank you for your word, the beauty of your word, the reality of your word, because your word is our light. Your word is our life. We thank you and we appreciate you. Thank you there, Father. Thank you for the word obsessions we've had, for the lives that have been impacted, the minds renewed. Thank you for enlightenment that has come up. Thank you for this very final session for the year 2021. Thank you for great and mighty things. Thank you for great and mighty things. We give you praise. We honor you and praise you and thank you. Thank you for revelation knowledge flows freely. Revelation knowledge flows with ease. It flows unhindered. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We give you praise, dear Father. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Praise God. So here we go. The last edition of Word Up, we had talked about the life of God, the gift of life. And then here we're talking about the light of life. So kind of like a continuation. But what I'd love to do is do a build up again. I don't want to use the word a recap, but a build up, because if you noticed in the flyer, the email, and everything, it's like an extension of the previous teaching. So it has to be understood. Now, one of the things I wrote on social media when I was talking about this is that where there is life, there will be light. All right. Where there is life, there will be light. And we're going to see this. We're going to see how light and life connect, how light and life relate, how light and life, they're one and they're the same. I trust that this will be, oh dear Lord. I trust that this will go a very deep way in enlightening us. I'll just flow. So I have my tab with me here. But then I have my notes. I usually so last week I wanted to say certain things from my notes. I have my Word Up notes usually on my tab, but then my personal thoughts and some of my jottings on a few things. I have different segments of the note. It's divided so I could have different portions of it. So I just flew a little bit also from my note, a few thoughts. Because the depth and the extent of what we're sharing here. Let me just say simply, only God knows. All right, the extent of what we're sharing here, only God knows. Because lives will be impacted. We're gonna take these things from here and then we're gonna run with them. All right. We're gonna do mighty stuff with them. If you noticed the way we ended the last edition, I took a whole lot of time in building up stuff, and then towards the end of it, we entered the core of it. So that core, I'm gonna begin again and do a build up, and then just we flow on that build up. So Father, once again, we thank you for revelation, knowledge, and illumination. Thank you because our minds are renewed. Thank you because of our eyes of understanding, they're enlightened. Glory to God. Glory to God. That the life of Christ that is in us, that we walk in the greater consciousness of it and the greater reality of it. To the glory and the praise of you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So we'll kick off from John chapter 1 from the very first verse. So John chapter 1, verse 1. So John 1, 1, there's an introduction. So, like I said, allow me build up. So John chapter 1, verse 1. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, dear Jesus. We give you glory. We give you glory. Amen. Amen. Okay. We're ready, right? All right, so John 1:1. Okay, good. All right, thank you, Gabriel. All right, so John chapter 1, verse 1 says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So I want you to follow the pattern, please. I know we're familiar with it, but follow. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. In the same was in the beginning with God. We're going to the ninth verse, so just take it, okay? All things were made by Him. And without him was not anything made that was made. All right. In him, the word, okay, was life. And the life was the light of men. So here we begin to see the introduction, but this is not the introduction of it in the Bible. This is just introduction of it in the Gospel of John. Okay, before this, you would see that there had been a mention of light and life together, but this for us from the Gospel of John is the introduction of both. In him, who him? Him, the Word. Him, the Word that was in the beginning. Him, the Word that is same with God, all right? In him was life, and the life was the light of men, all right? So verse 5 now. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness doesn't comprehend it. So the darkness couldn't handle or stand that light. And the greatest resource is light. All right. You might have heard me also say the greatest resource is eternal life. And then you're wondering, which one is it? Is it eternal life or is it light? Light is life. Life is light, because where there is life, there is light. And where this light is, there had to be life for there to be that light. And if there is a light there, and the light comes there, it will bring men to life. All right? Did you get that? I could say it again. Wherever there is eternal life, there is light. There always is light. Where there is life, there is light. And this would affect us with challenges. Where there is life, there is light. And where there is light, there either already is life or there to be light, or that light will bring men into the life. All right? The light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. Verse 6 now, there was a man sent from God. His name was John. The same came for a witness, to be a witness of the light. Suddenly, the light seems to be a person. Okay, so one of the names of the Word would be light. And the Word, of course, became flesh by verse 14. All right, that all men might, you know, through him believe. Okay, verse 8 now, he was not that light, but was sent to be a witness of that light. Now, verse 9 says, that was a true light that lighted every man that comes into the world. So the life has light. And you read through, you've realized life has a personality. Life is a person. Now he's telling us that light has a personality. Light is a person. And there's nothing to be confused about here. Jesus is light, and then Jesus is life. So light and life are same. Okay? The Father is light. We'll see all of that when we begin to look at, you know, we've talked about the family of divine life, all right? But here also we have to understand it's also a family of divine light. It is light. I'm a bit ahead of myself, but Jesus is the light of the world. And in Matthew, Jesus said that you are the light of the world. So the same way he's light, he now says you are light. So the same way we say as the Father has life in himself, he gave the Son to have life, then the Son came. So what we're learning is you know, something about divinity. I would sincerely say, like Ken Hagin has said, that the church is still in its infancy where this revelation is concerned, and it will behoove us to give a lot more attention to this truth, to this thought, because this is the hallmark of Christianity. This is it. All right, understanding the divine attributes, understanding the DNA. It's okay to say, oh, the DNA of God is in me. I have the DNA of God. Question is, what exactly, you know, is that DNA? Say, oh, I'm a partaker of his divine nature. So what is the divine nature? It is life. It is life. Light. It is love. All right. God is light. God is life. God is love. So we are partakers of the divine nature, of his qualities, his characteristics, his attributes. All right. So when we see what he is or who he is and what he has, then we understand, oh, this is what we have. This is who we have in whatever miniature stage or state it might be. So a baby has been born. The baby has all the organs intact. They are, however, in stages or in states where they might not all function completely, fully. The baby, for instance, has a digestive system, but then you don't give the baby super solid meals to eat. You don't give the baby bones to crush, right? Because babies don't even have teeth, so nothing to crush the bone with. So all of the systems are not formed But they are there. They exist. Everything is in place. All the baby would need will be growth and development, and everything will form. The baby has reproductive system, but they can't function at that age. So if the baby's a complete person, however, the baby cannot fully function in that mature state until there is maturity. So same for us, all right? You get born again. If our faculties are not exposed to these things, they remain in infancy. Okay, they would exist, but they remain in their infancy. And then we do not have these things exercised. We don't know. And just allow me, you know, talk to us. It's our last edition, you know, for the year. You know, these things remain in their infancy. For instance, someone who's never laid hands on a sick to see them recover would know it's a verse in the Bible, but just has not exercised himself or herself in that area. Now, as easy as it is, because you should just stretch forth your hand and then believe. I know sometimes we try to not carry the whole burden on ourselves and we'll feel bad. It happened now, it didn't happen, you know, and all of that. But you also have to learn that. I mean, I remember Orobos was asked if he laid hands on someone and the person fell down and died right in front of him, what would he do? He said, I'll just simply say next, as in I'll move on to the next person. His job, he understood, was to lay hands on them. Now, does that mean he wasn't expectant? This man who spent 6 to 8 hours meditating on God's word before any meeting, he would have shut down days and weeks sometimes before that, but he would still spend hours that day. That showed, you know, his high level of expectation. He laid hands on people so much, he, you know, he affected him physically speaking. He had to be attended to, you know, his arm had to be attended to. He desired to see the healing power of God flood America and the world. He was the first person to bring cameras, you know, into tents for healing meetings so that people who couldn't come to the meetings could watch this, you know, these things transmitted live into their homes. That showed his passion. He, however, had to learn. You don't carry that burden or else it weighs you down, because there are ministers where, you know, it's weighed them down and they're all like, oh God, I feel for that person. There are many other factors, right? And that's why you find some also that maybe they have crusades in the evening and the morning session, they run teaching meetings. They teach people how to receive healing, how to keep their healing, how to respond. If you've listened to Kenneth Hagin's messages, I think there was even one I remember right now that Kenneth Hagin said the power of God picked the lady up from the chair. The power of God picked her up from the chair and all she had to do was stretch out her legs and walk. And then she kept on saying, no, 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 no. And then the thing dropped her back in the chair. The power of God lifted her off the chair. She just was not willing to go off the wheelchair. You know, sometimes people just say, hey, why don't you just even go into the hospital and lay hands on everybody there? Not everybody even wants to be healed. Not everybody wants to. Some like that state of pity party they are in. It's like some people, if you've had to, you know, deal with cases where, you know, there are demons involved in stuff. Some will tell you, no, I like it. I'm okay with it. I like the voices I hear. I know I'm hearing strange voices. I know I shouldn't. But enjoy the voices. So leave me alone. All right. So at that moment and times where the Holy Ghost can override. Yeah, but overriding is not every day. If overriding were every day, Jesus would heal people whether they wanted to or not, whether they believed in him or not. And if you notice in the ministry of Jesus, he went about teaching, preaching, healing, all right? So it wasn't just going about healing, all right? He went about teaching, preaching, and healing. So he went to his own hometown in the book of Mark, and Bible said he could dare not do so many mighty works because of the unbelief of the people, all right? So they were not responding. Maybe they didn't even really come out to the crusade, or they just came and were staring at him, you know? So we see in Mark how that, hey, few people got healed, and then we see in Luke 5 also how that nobody got healed, all right, until the guy that was brought on the bed, a paralytic guy that his four friends brought and opened the tiling of the roof to let him down. So the power of God was present. Luke 5 tells us in 17, power of God was present to heal them, but nobody got healed until one person came and then got healed. So we see that I go into all of that by saying, hey, you lay hands on the sick, all right? So your job is to minister. Your faith is, And the more you and I respond to it, the more we develop that faculty, as it were. You know, we develop a flow, a more increased flow with the Holy Ghost to function in that. So there are many areas of life that we will remain. And by life, I mean your walk of faith. There are many areas we might remain in their infancy if we do not exercise ourselves in these things, if we do not push, if we do not go further. Just mean you're in the infancy. It's like prophecy. All right? You could be born again 10, 15 years, and someone says, have you ever prophesied before? And you say, no, I'm not a prophet. You know, and then you're mixing two things together. All they ask is if you've prophesied before, because according to 1 Corinthians 14, all of God's children could and should prophesy. All right. So, but if you don't give yourself to that, then you would remain in the infancy, in that stage of infancy where prophecy is concerned. So you just always want to receive something from someone, hear a word from someone, you know, because you assume that they are the big guns. And today you finally prophesy, just start making yourself feel like, oh, today I'm a big gun. No, all of God's children should prophesy. For instance, you know, 12 lets us know that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with. I'm saying all of this because we're dealing with light. We're dealing with life, eternal life. Something changed in us. Something changed about us when we received eternal life. And I can't overstress that. I will take a bit of time again to lay that down. So in John chapter 1, verse 4, that we saw some minutes ago, in him was life. In him was life, and the life was the light of man, all right? In him was life, and that life was the light of man. So I said earlier, I have my tab, I have my notes. I just want to read something. You know, I wrote somewhere here. You know, and, you might want to write it down. So let me find the page. So I have a few pages, so depending on what I want to share, so I might be like, okay, let me look for this one, let me look for that one. Okay, so I wrote this about, you know, eternal life. It is creative. It is recreative. It is rejuvenating. It is invigorating. It is revitalizing, and it's miraculous. In him was life, that life, so that you can, you know, have an idea of what it is you have received, what it is this life can do. This life is creative, because if all things were made by him, without him was not anything made that was made, and in him was life. All right, so that means in that word was life. So each time God spoke in Genesis, because John chapter 1, this early part of John 1 is actually just talking to us about Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth, Genesis says. And Genesis says, and God said, and God said, and God said. All right, so in John chapter 1, we see in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, and all things were made by him. Without him, without the Word, nothing was made. All right, so if nothing was made without the Word, and in Genesis, God was saying, let there be, let there be. What was God speaking? The word, all right? God spoke words. So you see here that God spoke words, and then we understand better that this. So John 1 is giving us that behind the scene picture of Genesis chapter 1. So it says in that fourth verse again, in him, who is him? The word. In him was life. What was that life? What can it do? It is creative. So he says, let there be. Let there be, let there be. The word is creative because the word has life. All right, the word has life. The word is life. It is the word itself, all right? If you remember John chapter 6, he said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. All right, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit. They are life. So they are. So I could say the word has life to say that the word contains life, okay? But then I could say the word is life, because the word, I mean, thank you, John 6, you know, and then 63, the words I speak, they are So the words that proceed from God, when God speaks, life is proceeding. If you remember in Proverbs chapter 18, we're told that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So when words proceed from our mouths, they are not just words. It's either, you know, we speak life or we speak death. We're saying something. We're saying something, all right? So when you speak to that mountain and you tell it to move, you tell that sickness to wither. When you speak to tuberculosis or you speak to cancer or you speak to HIV, when you speak to it, you come from an arena of life, all right? And you release life into where there is death to such a degree that that death cannot exist anymore. Because if light will shine in darkness and darkness cannot comprehend it, then death also cannot comprehend life, if you understand what I'm saying. Because as life is to light, or light is to life, so is darkness to death. Do you understand that? Life, death, light, darkness. Did you get that? Life, death, light, darkness. So where there is life, there is light. Where there is death, there is darkness. Are you understanding this? Because in the beginning, it was darkness was upon the face of the deep, and God said, let there be light. And you see in John 1 that light seems to be a personality. He says, John the Baptist came to give the gospel, bear witness of the light. Right? And Ephesians says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, powers. And he ended up by saying the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. So there's a darkness. Right, there's a realm of darkness. There are operations in darkness. Are you understanding? So it's not just light. So we need to move away from light and darkness becoming just day and night, sunlight and moonlight. It's beyond all of that. It's a realm. Light is a realm. Okay, light is a realm. Don't forget that. The same way life is a realm. So you must understand that it's not just, turned on the light, turned on. You could enter a place and it's bright, and that place is dark. Do you understand that? You enter a place, it's bright, it's daylight, and it is dark. All right, why? Because of the operations of darkness in that place. The minds of the men, they are dark. The operations of the evil spirits of darkness are heavy in the place. So it's bright, lighter on, but that place is filled with darkness. However, you could be in a place and it's nighttime, it's midnight, all right? And then it's daylight to you, because in your realm, you have been taken. I mean, 1 Peter and chapter 2 and verse 9, that we all know, chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, a peculiar people, all right? He said he's chosen us, all right, to show forth his praises, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So you need to understand that this is not locational darkness. This is spiritual darkness. He calls us out of darkness and he brings us into light. So light is a realm. Light is a location. The same way in John chapter 5 and 24, he says, you have passed out of death into life. So life is a location. Light is a location. Are there separate locations? No, once again, where there is life, there is light. Where there is life. So whoever has eternal life has eternal light. If I would say that, Bible doesn't call it that. It's just light. So I'm just trying to put eternal so you see the sink. All right. But whoever has eternal life has light. So I said that this life is creative. And then this life is recreative. So we see that in the ministry of Jesus. We see that all through the Bible. We see, so when we talk about miracles and signs and wonders, it's the life of God that is at work. It is recreative. So Jesus meets a man that had a withered hand, and Jesus asked him to stretch forth his hand. And as he stretched out his hand was recreated. How? By the life of God. Because nothing dies where there is life. Thank you, Jesus. Nothing dies where there is life. Nothing, nothing. So this life, guys, is creative. This life is recreative, all right? This life is rejuvenating. To rejuvenate there means to make young again. This life is rejuvenating. And that's why you see in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're told there in the 16th verse that though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. Why? Because there is life, all right, that is rejuvenating. It's in us. For which reason we faint not, but though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed. Why? Because there is life in that inward man. And that's why by the time we get to, you know, 2 Corinthians and the 5th chapter, which is just the following chapter there, it now says, after a while, mortality will be swallowed up by life. Where is mortality? It's the body. All right, then the life of God will swallow it up. Where is the life? It's in us. Because Romans 8, 2, all right? Thanks, Gabriel. All right, so let's just read that one and then I'll make reference to Romans 8, 2. It says, for we that are in this tabernacle, that's this body, do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up by life. Where is this life? Why would it swallow up mortality? Mortality is in the physical realm. Life is in our human spirits. All right, Romans 8 and 11, which is very popular. Romans 8, 11 says, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, right, lives in us, he that raised up Christ from the dead would also quicken, that's to give life to our mortal bodies by his spirit. So some argue that this verse is actually referring to the resurrection. All right, so there's an argument on that. But if we would, I believe that we already have a foretaste of it now. We do not have the fullness of it, because some have also, while there's an extreme that argue that this is resurrection, some others argue and say we can have our glorified bodies right now. But I do not think, through looking through scripture, not my opinion, but I do not think, from what I have come to know from scripture, you cannot will yourself into this. You can't, because Paul, right into the Corinthian church, all right, if you mix what he said to the Corinthians and the Thessalonians put together, it's obvious that there is a set time for this thing. We that are alive will be changed. Those that are alive, the dead in Christ will rise first. All right, we that are alive will be changed. It's at a time, it's at the same time. All right, so it's, you can't wheel it and say, no, I receive glorified body, I receive glorified body, I receive glorified body. Because I personally, you know people about maybe over 17 years ago, all right, a bunch of folk, loving, wonderful guys, all right? But it begins with when the teaching starts moving into the direction of immortality and all of that, and then it just shoots into that realm of let's believe for glorified bodies right now. We'll do more miracles if we have glorified bodies. I remember I was conversing with one of them, and I said that, hey, John G. Lake didn't have glorified body, and he did all the stuff he did. Let's even do what the man did. If we get there and we feel we need to do more, then maybe we'll go for glorified body. Let's still do what these guys did. Let's do what Dewey did. Let's do what all these people did. You know, there's so much to be done. I mean, when Jesus lived on this earth, he didn't have a glorified body. And John was writing, and John said, if we, you know, wrote all the things that Jesus did, there would be no space for them. And he didn't have a glorified body as at that time. And Jesus is our standard. So it means that we don't need the glorified body to do all of that. But you have people, you know, anyway, jumping into that. So the life that we have received is creative. The life we have received is recreative. The life we have received is rejuvenating. It makes young again. You know, I like cartoons, just in case you don't know. I do like cartoons. I like science fiction. I like stuff. I like what now? The entire MCU, the Marvel cinematic stuff. I like it. I like superhero stuff. But then in watching these things, I'm watching them since I was young. I mean, followed the comics first, and then when I started doing the movies, and then, you know, a lot of that. But these things are amazing, because, you know, they just show the thoughts in the minds of men and the cravings for the supernatural. But yet again, they just show what we have in Christ that we might not even know that that's what we have. All right, so you see maybe like a lady enchanted, if you've seen that Rapunzel, and her hair grows long and long and long and long and long and all of that. And then you just enjoy it. But it's more than enjoying because you actually can buy the word of God. And I can't remember, I think it was Charles Capps. I don't want to mix up which preacher right now who said, hey, I don't want to cut my hair anymore. Hey, just stay where you are. Yeah, like yeah, I mean, there are people who've been bound and spoke to the thing and air came out. You're like, oh yes. So it's not until there is a ministry. If you've even ever heard Ken Hagin teach on love walk, he said he met an elderly man who said to him that he's never lost, any hair, never lost any tooth, never lost, and he showed Hagin from the word. He said, because the Bible says that he that will love life and see good days, you refrain his lips from speaking evil and his tongue from speaking any guile. And Hagin said, I think Hagin said, I've lost a few hair before that. And right after that, I stopped losing my hair because I saw it in the word. I mean, you could just go into the word and find out that these things are available. But then when we mingle and mix with a whole lot of natural thinking people who are good-minded believers, but then we're just always out there. And we just listen to everything that is out there. When you're entering your 60s, you start losing memory, and then unconsciously things just seep into our minds. They seep into our minds. Okay, but we must, you and I, if not, these things will slip away. The life I have received is creative. The life I have received is recreative. The life I have received is rejuvenating. Is rejuvenating. The life I have received is rejuvenating. He that raised up Jesus lives in me. He gives life to me. Life. All right. Something is rejuvenating. That life I have received is reinvigorating. The life I have received is not only rejuvenating, but is, invigorating. It's and to invigorate, basically, to give life, to revitalize, is to bring back to life. And these are words I played with in my notes here. Rejuvenate, invigorate, revitalize. So to invigorate means to give life. To give life. All right. To give life and energy. All right. Just I want to believe you're writing this thing down. To give life and energy, and then to revitalize is to bring back to life. All right. To bring back to life. So we find a ministry of Jesus, and then it's miraculous. Okay, so Jesus sits there in the book of John, chapter 6, and then he needed to feed the multitude, and he himself knew exactly what he was going to do. All right, so they tell him there's 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, tell the men to sit down. Why? Where there is life, there's always abundance. Where there is life, there's a creative power, there's a recreative power, there's the miraculous power of God. So that little thing multiplies. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. That little thing multiplies. And if that is what we have, it means that we can take it into our businesses. It means we can take this into our homes. It means because anywhere there is life, then we should expect these. And in your own personal meditation, you could make your own longer list. All right. These for me just touch certain things that are, I'm meditating on, I'm working on. Like I said, I'm reading from my notes, not from the tab. I'm reading from my notes. So of course, the one I wrote about the Father has life in himself, the Son has life, the Son is life, resurrection and life. And then I put some other personal stuff there, I don't know if you can see this, but not sure you can. So, not sure. Yeah, you can see. I wrote something about the river of life, the fountain of life, the spirit of. I mean, these are just, like I said, I'm reading from my notes. All right, not note I want to preach, but my own my note. All right. Of course, I have some of my personal stuff there, a whole lot of my personal stuff there. But I just want to like peek, I want to do a bit of that the last time, but I just build and I trust that you're getting this thing. Okay, because when we talk about this life, it's hiding all through the Bible. There is the fountain of life, there is the spirit of life. There is. And when I think about the fountain of life, going back again to cartoons and movies, you find that people are trying to get to a particular place where there's one particular water there that can, make you youthful again. And you know, and all of those kinds of stuff. There's a fountain of life. There's a fountain of life. Let's go now to John chapter 4. Thank you, Lord Jesus. John 4. All right, we'll pick it from John 4, verse 8. Maybe John 4, 8. Thank you, dear Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. John 4, verse 8. All right, thank you. Disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. So we're going down, verse 9. Then, you know, said the Samaritan woman, he had asked her for water. So when she said unto him, why is it that you, being a Jew, ask me of drink, which I'm a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And I love verse 10. Right? Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me to drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. This is one of the most beautiful statements in all of the Bible for me. Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and the person that says to you, give me drink, you would have asked him, he would have given you living water. So there's something Jesus came to give us. So like we discussed in the last edition, when you say, oh, I have received Jesus, doesn't end with receiving Jesus. You received something, and that thing is eternal life. All right, and in this episode, we're now saying that thing is life and light. All right, you didn't just receive eternal life, you received eternal light. All right, so we'll talk a lot more on attributes of light tomorrow, but allow me just give you a number of stuff I didn't give you in the last time. You know, I could just pick a few places from my notes again, like I said. So Jesus, no, we'll still read that, John, you know, so Jesus is now saying to her, I will give you eternal life, all right? I mean, I'll give you living water. So the next verse, let's see. And then the woman begins to ask, you know? And the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From when would you get this living water you're talking about? And then verse 12, are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank thereof himself? He, his, you know, children and his cattle. Guys, see 13 and 14, so beautiful. Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. And if you look all around us, guys, we're thirsty. We buy cars, we're not satisfied. We get homes, we're not satisfied. We get married, we're not satisfied. We get degrees, we're not satisfied. There's just this, you know, and we've been taught already in economics when we're growing up that human wants are insatiable. But do you know that statement goes against the revelation of God's eternal life? It completely goes against it. In verse 13, the reason why human needs are insatiable is because of drinking from the wrong thing. Or, you know, whoever drinks this water shall thirst again. Jesus said it. The reason why you always be thirsty and always want and want and want and want and want is this is what you're drinking. Then verse 14, thank you. Whoever drinks of the water I shall give shall never thirst. Now, the word never here, there's something in Bible study called the law of double emphasis. The law of double emphasis, and it is right here. Help me switch to the Amplified, please. So you see, you know, in certain places, I did a short teaching some years ago, all right, and I called it the... I remember what I was about to say. All right, the absolutes, you know, the absolutes. There were statements that Jesus made that were very, very absolute. They were unapologetic. I mean, who talks like this? Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life. Please, let's see the Amplified Classic. And then we'll... just because I want to show you the absoluteness, allow me, you know, I think that's correct, right? You know, watch this. But whoever takes a drink of the water that I will give him shall never, no, never be thirsty anymore. Very, very clear. And here you see the law of double emphasis. Very clear. Shall never, no, never be thirsty anymore. But the water that I will give him would become a well of water springing up, bubbling, higher continually within him unto for into eternal life. So for you and I, the life of God is consistently generating. But why are we not seeing as much manifestation as we want to? Because our minds are not effectively renewed. I've seen that in my personal life. I've seen where there was a very low, you know, consciousness and fear of death. And I've seen where there was a high level, you know, not high like a normal person's own, you know, just saying that sincerely, you know, but it was higher than normal. I wasn't bothered about or concerned about. I realized I was being bothered and concerned about them. Things that didn't get to me got to me. I knew you are letting this revelation slip. You have let the revelation slip. You have. I remember, I mean, back then when we were on campus, when we were introduced to this thing, the fear of a lot of things were like very minimal, like super minimal. All right. And we heard a teaching. We forgot the teaching when we heard it, actually. You know, when we heard it, we were excited, we're blessed. And then the whole thing slipped. And then a friend of mine was, you know, cutting, you know, when you're trying to open a tin with knife. And then he was, you know, doing that. And then he cut himself. All right. So, I mean, we all came back to the house after school. I guess he stayed back or he left earlier. He was trying to make a meal, and then we came and get guys, guess what? So he's trying to cut the tin, he cut himself, and then, of course, blood and all, and he remembered what was said at the camp meeting we went to, and what was said, all right? You know, so the preacher was telling us how that he and his pastor were headed somewhere, and while going, his pastor, you know, mistakenly, like, hit a stone, and blood was coming, I was cut, and immediately the pastor said to the thing, seal up. And the whole thing just dried off immediately. He said, right there, I was afraid, like, oh my goodness, did my pastor just command that thing to dry up? And it did dry up, like, whoa. All right. So he said, sometime later, he also was doing something, he caught himself, he remembered what happened to his pastor, and then he just commanded, seal up, and the wound sealed immediately. So my friend said he recalled that right there, and he just spoke to the cut, in the name of Jesus, seal up. And the thing dried up and covered up. Oh my goodness. I mean, if you've ever been in a place where a testimony sparked fire, that was one of it for us right there. I mean, we all heard this thing, and for some reason we heard it, woo, and then But when he mentioned that, and then the only thing left in his hand was like maybe like one scratch. That was what it looked like. He said, guys, this thing was a cut. I spoke and then covered up. I'm like, whoa. Oh my goodness, guys. For the next few months, we were running that across the campus. I remember a lady I taught that stuff. She was into science laboratory technology, science lab tech. Then she was in the lab, said we're doing some stuff. She caught herself. She said, seal up. Oh, dear Lord. And she said the thing covered up immediately. As we were hearing testimonies across the campus, it was amazing. And about a year, going to well over a year after that, I was now, you know, in Kingsword Ministries. I was foundation school principal. I was told to teach eternal life. It was like when you give a dog a bone, all right? You know, and I spent about 3 days meditating, praying, reading scriptures for that. It was a class, just normal foundations class, but it was on fire. For 7 weeks after that in church, people were coming up with, you know, I still remember one, we're having a vigil at church. Someone walked into the pastor's office, they had kept some kids there for them to sleep, you know, because there was it was just partitioned off the church auditorium, you know, so they left the kids there, and One of them was crying. So in checking the kid, they found that the kid had stepped on this thumbtacks, you know, a thumbtack. So the kid was really crying. So he pulled out the thumbtack and then seal up. It then dried up. The baby slept off immediately for 7 weeks thereabout. People were coming up and saying, you know what, Brother Larry shared a foundation class. This happened and I spoke, and that happened and I spoke, and this happened. So I've seen when it's high. I've seen, even in ministry, I've seen where you teach more of these things and people are not afraid to raise that. And then you drop it to say something else. And then, but You know, guys, Christ is revealed in us. Christ is revealed through us. And our focus has to zero in, because this is who we are. And that's why I love the fact that the last two editions of Word Up, the previous one and this one, this is it, and it's leading us into something glorious for 2022. We have to teach this. We have to. It's not a message for a church. It's a message for the church of Jesus Christ. We have eternal life. We have eternal life. We have eternal life. And the different descriptions and dimensions of the river. So Jesus, I mean, the life of God, all right? So river is, you know. So Jesus said to the woman, whoever drinks this thing, all right, drinks this water, would never thirst again. Because whoever drinks it would have in him a bubbly, consistently, constantly flowing life. It's just, it's amazing. It's like super, super amazing. I like the use of Gosha in the message translation. So please, let's see the message translation. It's beautiful. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, we have eternal life. We have the creative, recreative, rejuvenating, invigorating life of God. It's in us. It's in us. The revitalizing life of God is in us. Hallelujah. Anyone who drinks the water I give will never thirst, not ever. Double emphasis again. Never thirst, not ever. The water I give will be an artesian spring within, gushing fountains of endless life. Gushing fountains of endless life. So in you right now, in me right now, is a gushing fountain of the creative, recreative, rejuvenating, invigorating, vitalizing, revitalizing, miraculous life of God. Hallelujah. In you, in me, right now, in you. Hallelujah. You want to take a moment and just say that to yourself. In you, whichever order, if you don't remember everything, it's fine. I'm sure you remember two or three of them, but I trust you've written them down so you could look at them. And then if you have written more, look at them. In me right now is gushing in me, the creative, invigorating, rejuvenating, revitalizing, miraculous life of God. It's in me, it's in me, it's in me right now. It's flowing in me, that invigorating life, that rejuvenating life, that revitalizing life of God is in me, is in me, is in me, is in me, is in me. Glory to God, is in me, is in me. Hallelujah. It's in me gushing, guys. It's gushing. There's in me gushing a fountain of, you know, endless life. Endless. I love the word endless. It's just eternal. I just like the use of the word endless, endless, without end. Without end, it goes on and on. It goes on and on and on. That kind of life is the one in me. It's the endless flow of the endless life of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you get that one? I said it's the endless flow. All right. It's the endless flow. So if you remember what we read in Amplified, it's a continuous flow. So it's an endless flow, an artesian spring. It doesn't have a faucet. It keeps going. So it's an endless flow of the endless life of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's in us. It's in us. It's bubbling in us. It's growing in us. It's creative. It's this life produces abundance. It produces plenty. So if you want to add that, I see that in there somewhere, you know. It's there. I mean, if it rejuvenates, if it is miraculous, if it's revitalizing, if it's recreative, all right, if it's creative, all right, so prosperity, abundance, plenty, everything is in there for me. But you might want to break it down again. You might want to break it down. Oh, they said your business is not moving, things aren't working. I have the life of God. And where that life is, things just poof. Glory to God. So let's jump to John 7. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. John 7. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John chapter 7. And then, you know, pick it from 37. John 7:37. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, I have the endless life. And I have an endless flow of that endless life. I have it, I have it, I have it. I have the endless flow of the endless life. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If any man thirst, let him come to me and let him drink. All right, let's go to verse 38. He that believes on me, and I want you to see this, he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So Jesus said to the woman, all right, if you ask of me for drink, I will give you, all right, living water. So there's a type of water that has life, all right? It's living water. It's living. So Jesus, I give you living water, right? So, you know, out of your belly will flow living water. And I love, you know, the next verse. I like what was revealed to us here. Bible says, but this spake he of the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This spake he of the Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit is the river of living water. All right? The Holy Spirit is the river of living water. Did you get that? The Holy Spirit is a river of living water. However, let me say it this way. We could also say that the Holy Spirit is the water, because water is a type of a spirit, all right? So the Holy Spirit is the water. So river conveys the water, okay? But then the river could be dry, the river could be full. I'm sure you've seen dry rivers, all right? You know, it's just a riverbed. It's dry. So it say, oh, that's the riverbed, all right? But then out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. So there could be a river with normal water, but then there's a river that, no, it's not carrying normal water. It's carrying water that has life. Are you understanding that? So there is the river of life. Let me do this one. So if you could see, if you can, you know, if I had a cameraman, I just say, she come closer. All right. So if you, so this is the living water. All right. So that's up there, the living water. Okay. So water of life, water that gives life. All right. So the living water. And then I began to just put certain areas of the Bible down, and I just want to share from my notes. Yes. From my thoughts, some of these things I just, you know, chew on. And, you know, so the first one I wrote here, you know, is from Psalm 46 and verse 6. So, you know, Gabriel, could just maybe show us these things. And, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Just say, I have eternal life. I have eternal life. I have eternal life. I have eternal life. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Psalm 46. And then the sixth verse, I'll just run you, you know, through. Oh, did I miss something? 46. Oh, no. 64. That means, since I read it, I just read it off my head. I read that in months back. Find it. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. All right. Yeah. Oh. Verse 4. Thank you. All right. Thank you. All right. Thank you. All right. So Psalm 46, 4, it says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. There is a river. So don't forget that John tells us in chapter 7, that the Holy Ghost is that river. So it says there's this river, the streams whereof will make glad the city of God. So we say, oh, there's a river, it gives joy. And then we scream and shout in a church service, but the people in that service are not walking in a consciousness of the endless flow of the endless life. The Spirit is the river, and the Holy Ghost is not coming and going and coming and going and coming and going. So if the Holy Ghost is always in me, then the river is always in me. So there is a river, the streams of that river, the dimensions and the departings of the river into different streams make glad the city of God. And we are the temple of God. So we, all of us, put together form of the city of God. We're Jerusalem. All right. So the river ministers to every one of us. And I'm trying to bring in, you know, for us, a consciousness of the Spirit. A consciousness of the Spirit. In Isaiah 44 from verse 3. Isaiah 44 from 3. Isaiah 44, you know, 3. We read 3 and then 4 and then 5. It says, "For I will pour water on him that is thirsty. I'll pour floods on the dry ground." So water, again, is a Spirit. I'll pour water. So you say, oh, and if you remember, Jesus said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." So he says, "I'll pour water on him that is thirsty." And while we already have believed in him, all right, and then we already have received the Spirit, guys, there's a level of hunger and thirst that unlocks the deeper dimensions of the river. It's already inside of us. It's there. If you remember, Ezekiel chapter 47 talks about the dimensions of the river. So there's this hunger because you could have something. I mean, John G. Lake, you know, you could Google that thing. I think it's available on the internet. All right. John G. Lake has this article on spiritual hunger. It's a beautiful piece. It's a beautiful piece. And in there, you know, he talked about one of those days he walked into his sister's home. She wasn't available. And then he was like really hungry. Couldn't wait for her to come back. Opened the fridge, found something that looked like cake, and he ate it up. You know, and then I think he ate one thing or two things, and then she came in later and like, "Oh, how are you doing? Let me make you up something." He said, "Oh, I was hungry when I came, I ate something." She was like, "What was that?" And then it was like some maybe cow, you know, food just kept in the fridge or something that was already spoiling. And he said he didn't even notice, and he was trying to explain hunger. You know, and the Bible says in the book of Proverbs actually that to the hungry man, even the bitter thing is sweet to him that is hungry. Even the thing that is bitter becomes sweet. So you find that the reason why we might not now walk in this thing is we seem to be satisfied. We don't know, but that's what we're, you know, the vibe we're giving out. Like, you know, that extra take an hour to meditate or take 3 hours and meditate on this thing. We would rather just sit down, you know, do other things. And then we kind of consciously communicate that I'm satisfied. We're tired of our lives. We're tired of where we are. We're tired of our levels of manifestation. But then we're not hungry enough to go for more. And according to what Proverbs said, that to him that is hungry, even the bitter thing is sweet. You know, according to that, you know, I mean, Solomon would have seen that and had to just pen it down. And we have the opportunity of reading that. It means that when you become very, very hungry, what could have naturally been uncomfortable for you, what you might naturally not just, you know, go out of your way to do, you just find yourself doing it. You just find yourself giving attention to this thing. So I want us to be mindful of this, all right? I want us to give this thing the attention it needs and the revelation it requires. So Paul, I mean, let's see that Psalm again, please. Isaiah 44, verse 3. Isaiah 44, verse 3. And it says, "I'll pour water," okay? "For I'll pour water on him that is thirsty. I'll pour floods on the dry ground." Where there's dryness, it means there's no flow of the Spirit, no operation. Things are stagnant, static, dry. It now says, "I will pour my Spirit upon your seed." I'll pour water, I'll pour my Spirit. So the water is the Spirit. "I'll pour my Spirit upon your seed and my blessing upon your offspring." All right, let's see verse 4, and then we'll go into verse 5. 4 and 5, all right. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. It now says, "They will spring up, your seed. They will spring up." You know, I remember we had this service, you know, in our church in Ogun State, in Ijebode, Nigeria. It was a Thursday evening. I know we're doing Tuesday and Thursday that prayer. I think this was Thursday. So someone was leading prayer, and then I also come up to teach. All right. And in needing to come up to teach, I just kept feeling, you know, I needed to, it was time, but I kept feeling, you know, not now. Let the prayer go on. Let the prayer go on till we pray like all through the service. So I don't remember saying anything in that service. While we got praying to a point, I just began, you know, like when a tune is rising up inside you, you know, and then I began to sing. "Was standing up green, Everyone's flourishing, the river is flowing, the rain is downpouring, it's a river of life. We're standing up green, everyone's flourishing, the river is flowing, the rain is downpouring, it's a river of life. This portion of the Bible is the core of where that song, that part of that song came out. Right, it eventually became the song we sang in the ministry, and one of our dear ladies in church added to it. It was just beautiful. It was a beautiful addition. So this is it. It says, your children, all right, all of them, they will spring up as grasses. We're standing up green. I mean, grasses are green. They're standing up or standing up. They will spring up as grasses, as willows by the water courses. I mean, the ones that are beside a river, they are always nourished, always fresh, always green. So it says everybody would stand. So if you pick it from that third verse into, it said, I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing upon all of your descendants. All right. The last part again. Thank you. I'll pour my spirit upon your seed and my blessing on your offspring. You could play, you know, on your own with different translations on this. It's just beautiful. Where it begins with, I will pour my spirit. I'll pour my spirit on who? The thirsty. So there is this yearning, there's this craving that our hearts must go for. Paul said to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. There's that laying hold on, I desire to see the fullness of this thing. I desire to see, you know, an outbreak. You know, people talk about an outbreak of pandemics and, you know, and of you know, diseases and all that. We need to have that outbreak of a supernatural, that outbreak of the river of life, that outbreak. How? He says, hunger. Someone has to be hungry. Someone has an increase in hunger. You have to be tired of the normal. You just have to like, I don't want normal. I don't do normal. I'm not okay with normal. Just that hunger. All right. So I'll pour it on him that is thirsty. Floods on your dry ground. The ground is dry. Yeah, but floods because someone was hungry. I'll pour my spirit upon your seed, my blessing on your offspring. And then that, you know, fourth verse again is just so beautiful. And they will spring up. Who are they? Your offspring. Your offspring was standing up green, green. Everybody's flourishing. Everybody's flourishing. The river is flowing, and you know where the river came from. John 7, Ezekiel 47, and all of that. The rain is downpouring. He says, I'll pour like rain. I'll pour. And then you still see another one for rain. All right. They will spring up as amongst, you know, the grass. They will shoot up as willows by the water courses, verse 5. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. One will say, I am the Lord's, and another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Another shall subscribe with his hand, you know, with his hand unto the Lord, like writing, like a wristband and all of that. Another will surname. I mean, it means they will begin to shoot up in commitment to Jesus Christ. They'll do that. They'll do that. Why? Someone is hungry. Let me skip and still move to another Isaiah here. You know, thank you there, Jesus. Hallelujah. Isaiah 32 and the 15th verse of Isaiah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isaiah 32 and the 15th verse. Isaiah 32, 15. We're standing up green. Everyone is flourishing. Everyone. I love this one. It says, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, the wilderness will become a fruitful field. When that happens, when the Spirit is poured, then what was a wilderness will become a fruitful field, and then what was a fruitful field will become a forest. But it was first a wilderness, then it became a fruitful field. Why? The Spirit was poured like rain. The Spirit was poured like rain. Was a key hunger. Was a key hunger, because you can have something, but then it's not activated. It's not activated. You could have something, but then it's not activated like it's supposed to. Oh, but then we hunger. Thank you there, Jesus. Hallelujah. Psalm 36 and verse 8. We looked at that last time too. Psalm 36, verse 8. We'll read verse 8 and 9, but we'll do Psalm 36 and verse 8. And I want you to see. So let me just read out what I have in front of these verses. So I have the river. There is a river. So Psalm 46, 4. I mistakenly had said 6. All right. Then I'll pour water on him that is thirsty. Then it's Isaiah 44, 3 to 5. Then when the Spirit is poured, all right? So I wrote Isaiah 32, 15. Then I wrote the Fountain of Life. So we're reading Fountain of Life. Then there's the water from the temple, which is Ezekiel 47. Then there's a living water. Then there's a river of living water, John 4, river of living water, John 7, river from God's throne, Revelation 22, the early and the latter rain, Joel chapter 2, and then the latter rain, Zechariah chapter 10. You know, and at the bottom here, just the very, very bottom, somewhere here, I wrote here, unlocked by thirst, unlocked by thirst. So all of these things are available, all right? We can't just say, oh, it's in the word. I saw it, yeah. But the word would intend. Jesus said, my word should abide in you. So you see it in the word, and then you let it abide you. You let it load you up. It loads 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 you up. And then there's a gusher. You hit that gusher. And multitudes are blessed by it. Lives are blessed by it. People are blessed by it. Because just that outflow of the river coming in, you know, through you, coming from you, you know, people are blessed. So we're in that Psalm 36 right now, verse 8 of Psalm 36. Glory to God. All right. I hope you're okay with how I'm taking this stuff. All right. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. It says they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of your house. All right. They will be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of your house, and you will make them drink of the rivers of your pleasure. If you remember in John 4 that we read, Jesus told the woman, whoever drinks this other water will thirst again and again. Whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst. So this right here for me, okay, is connecting us to John 4 and some other part of John that we'll see soon. Because they will be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of your house. All right. So it means everybody that is in the house of God should live a satisfactory life. That's the word. They will be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of your house. You will make them drink. He didn't just say they will drink. You will make them drink. You will make them. You will grant unto them to drink of the river of your pleasure. All right. Now let's see the ninth verse. Hallelujah. For with thee is the fountain of life. And I said the last time, it's not with thee alone. It's actually you are the fountain of life. But I want you to see the light and life connection here. For with thee is the fountain of life. In your light, we shall see light, or shall we see light? All right. With you is a fountain. In that fountain of life, there is light. In that light, we see. Oh, thank you, dear Lord Jesus. Just slowly, right? But with thee is a fountain of life. NIV, I think it was NIV you gave me the last time. It was the NLT that says you are the fountain of life. Let's check NIV first. Hallelujah. Okay, for with you, so maybe NLT. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, thank you. For you are the fountain of life. You are. All right, because he had already introduced himself in Jeremiah, which you saw last time. All right, he is the fountain of life. So God is the author. He's the source of it. And where there is life, nothing dies. Where there is life, nothing decays. This life is recreative, is invigorating, is vitalizing, revitalizing. It is miraculous. All right, this life regenerates us. That's the life of God. It's eternal life. It's eternal life. It says, for you are the fountain of life. And by your light, or the light by which we see. So God is light. We're building life. And if we have to build life, we're almost done. It's just fantastic. All right? But he is the fountain of life. So there is a fountain. So the Spirit is the river. The Spirit is a fountain. The Spirit is everything. We've seen John 4. We've seen John 7. Let's do Revelations. Let's do Revelations 22 from verse 1. And you will see light-life connection there again. I'll still talk about Revelations 22 tomorrow. But I'm building up something. Let me go back to another page. So Revelations 22 from verse 1. All right, let me stay on this one. Like I said, I'm just picking from some things I've scribbled for myself over time. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, let me show you this one. So this is sorry, you're wrong. Okay, no, okay, we'll come back. Oh, all right, okay. So this right here. So what I did is you have to see that I wrote some things here and then I wrote something here. So what I wrote here is the Spirit is the river. He is the Spirit is the river. He is the life in me. How do you see that? All right, yeah. So if I do like this, then you see it better. I guess you can see better. All right. So I wrote the Spirit is the river. He is the life in me. And I wrote all that beside stuff. So the stuff I wrote is the gushing fountain of life, the tree of life, the river of life, the Spirit of life, the resurrection and the life, the Prince of life. So I wrote all of that here, right? The Prince of life is from the book of Acts, where Peter was saying that you killed the Prince of life, or some portions of the Bible, some translations say the author of life. So I had to put that here, but that somewhat seems to have some other meaning, right, to me from my meditations. Okay, but the gushing fountain of life. Okay, so I wrote that and I put beside it, is in me. All right, the tree of life, and then the river of life, and then the Spirit of life. So all of this is the Holy Spirit. He is the river of life. All right, he is the life in me. So if I have the Holy Ghost, and when I did receive the Holy Ghost, when you received the Holy Ghost, what you did was you received the life of God. You received the Spirit. You received the Creator himself. He moved into you. The Spirit that hovered upon the face of the earth in Genesis chapter 1 is the exact Spirit that moved into us. The one who blasted the Red Sea with his nostrils is the one that moved into us. The one, I mean, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power that went about doing good. That Spirit, that one that Jesus talked about in Luke 4, 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, is anointed me. That same Spirit is the one living in you and I. We cannot be natural. We are not normal. We're not natural beings. No, we're not. So this is not the message for a church or a people. It's the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's when the angel in Acts 5, opened up the prison doors. The angel said to them in verse 20, go and preach the words of life. All right? Go and preach the words of life. In Acts 5:20, that's what the angel said to them. Go and preach the words of eternal life. Go and preach it. Go and preach it. Go and preach it. Go and preach it. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, dear Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, dear Jesus. Thanks, Gabriel. Hallelujah. The angel told them, see here, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. All right. All the words of this life. Maybe it might not seem too clear. Here, check NLT, let's see. I know about two or three of them made it a bit clearer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. Go to the temple and give the people this message of life. All right. It wasn't just, I'm going to talk about this life, life, oh, life, oh, life. No, not just ordinary, every human life. No, it's a message of eternal life. Let's see what TPT calls it, or how TPT puts it. The Passion Translation, please. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. Awesome. Go, the angel told them, stand in the temple courts and preach the words that bring life. So it's not, we are Spirit of Life, all of that. That's the name of our church. But it's not... It's not for church. It's the message of Jesus Christ. So let's see that in Revelations 22. Thank you, Lord. Let's see that Revelations 22. Glory to God. Thank you, dear Jesus. And he showed me a pure river. And don't forget, the Spirit is a river, okay? And he showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal. So the river is now proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. So he shows me a river clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. 22 now. Okay. In the midst of the street, in the midst of the kingdom street, heaven street, all right? And on either side of the rest of the river is flowing down the middle of the street. And on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healings of the nations and healing of the nations. And you see this, all right? It just puts it together quickly here. But Ezekiel 47 runs this in a number of verses. I like this verse. It now says, there shall be no more curse. Why? Because where there is life, there can be death. And don't forget, death is of the curse. Life, death, blessing, cursing. Don't forget that from the last edition. Life, death, blessing, cursing. It says, there shall be no more curse. So someone says, oh, maybe there's a curse. Maybe I'm stagnant. Maybe no. Anywhere there is life. Anywhere there is life, there is abundance. And don't forget, this life is creative, is recreative, is invigorating, is rejuvenating. It is revitalizing. That's the life we have. This is the life we have, and we must walk in it. If I mean, it's life in our spirits. So a Christian dies or falls sick or is maimed or, you know, amputated and all of those kinds of stuff. All the while all of that was happening to that person, the river of life, the spirit of life himself was resident in that person. All right, it says there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be there. All right, and his servant to serve him. Now let's see verse 4. So that you can see the life light connection. It says they shall see his face and his name shall be in their foreheads. Verse 5. And there shall be no night there. This is beautiful. So you peek something, and the early part of this Revelations 21, all right, that we've seen right now is Ezekiel 47. This part is Isaiah 60. All right, there shall be no night there. But these are not Old Testament scriptures. No, we're reading Revelations. This is John. All right, this is John and Jesus and the things that Jesus had John see. There shall be no night there. They will need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. No night. So light, guys, is not, I mean, I have light in front of me, but that's not light. No. So when I have life, I have light. I'll allow me just travel a bit more on life, all right? When I have life, I have light. When I have life, I have light. I'm not trying to have life. When I have life, I have life. This life is an attribute of divinity, is a nature of God. So I'm glad we have two editions, and I know my heart, we need to just, all right, just let me know how well you're following what I'm doing here, right? Okay. Because I would have wanted to do light, but let's lay life all over again. And I'm giving us things I didn't even give to us the last edition, and I didn't plan to give us this much. But I just know, okay, share these things. Just share. It's our last edition for the year. Let me just share. Light. If we go to Genesis. So Genesis chapter 1, please. Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Genesis 1 from 1, and then we'll just read it from there. Thank you. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. So God said, let there be light. There was light. Verse 4. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. I want you to follow, because somewhere when we read this, we think of sun and moon and stars, but that's not what it is. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. I want you to notice the use of the word light, the use of the word day, the use of the word night, and the use of the word darkness. Please note this in Genesis chapter 1, verse 5. Let's go on. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide waters from the waters. All right. And then God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together upon a place, and let dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and he gathered together, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. All right. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and fruit tree yielding fruit, whose seed is in itself, and you know, of the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the earth yielding seed, fruit tree yielding fruit, whose seed in itself, after its kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. So a lot of work is going on. And I want you to see this. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Hold on. But I thought you divided the day from the night, but it says, let there now be lights to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. All right. And then God, 15 now, please. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light on the earth. And it was so. And then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule by day, so light rules. And we'll see attributes of light later. So the greater light to rule by day and the lesser light to rule by night. And he made stars also. Okay. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven. Watch this again, to give light to the earth. But excuse me, you said, let there be light. And you separated the day from the night. And then now you're saying that you've given the sun now and the moon to give light. So what was giving light before this light that is now to give the light? All right. So we need to see light beyond sun. Because when you travel to Revelations, let's go to that Revelations 22 again. And then, you know, the fifth verse, Revelations 22, 5. Thank you, the Lord. Revelations 22, 5. All right, thank you. And there shall be no night there. Watch this, please. They would not need candle, neither the light of the sun. For the Lord God give them light, and they will reign with him forever. So even the sun that gives light will no longer be needed to give light, but there will still be light. Do you understand this? Isaiah chapter 60, from verse 1. Isaiah 60 from 1. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 60 from 1. Oh, excuse me. All right. That was my mic. I was trying to raise my hand. Anyway. Excuse me. Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Okay. Arise, shine, your light is come. You know, it says, behold the darkness. So there's light, there's darkness. There's light, there's darkness. Behold, the darkness will cover the earth. Gross darkness will cover the people. But the Lord is the one arising upon you, and his own glory will be seen on you. So there is light. Then there is darkness, and there's darkness covering people. And darkness, these people the darkness is covering could have their lights on at home, could be walking around in daylight, but then there's darkness. Please understand that. But now it says the Lord will rise upon you. So the Lord rising upon you is not sunshine rising on you. So I'm trying to move us away from the natural light, you know, illumination of light, of eternal light in your home. Or I don't like to sleep in the dark. No, you could be in the place that is physically dark and you're filled with light, and there's nothing you're afraid of, because you know it's not the physical, it's not that light. Let's go to the 18th verse. You know, I'll just skip everything in between. You know, this same Isaiah 18. All right. Violence shall no more be heard in your land. Wasting or destruction will not be heard within your borders, but you will call your walls salvation, and your gates will be called praise. Verse 19, the sun shall be no more your light by day, which was what Revelations was saying. Neither for brightness will the moon give you light, for the Lord shall be unto you an everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Don't forget verse 1. Arise, shine, your light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. So there's light. Arise, shine, light is come. Glory is risen on you. So that verse 19 again, please. The sun shall no more be your light by day. So the natural will not sustain you. It can be, oh, how did you get it done? I did this, I did this. The sun cannot be your light. The natural can't sustain you. All right. The sun shall no more be your light by day, neither for brightness of the moon given light, but the Lord himself will be your everlasting light. All right. And your God will be your glory. So I have everlasting life. I have everlasting light. But in John, it's just light, 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 light. Usually just light. All right. But God is your everlasting life. So it's not, it didn't still call the light everlasting, but God is your everlasting life. So it's still light that lasts forever, endless light anyway. And he says, God will be your glory. So if I'm arising, shining because my light has come, the light that is coming is God being my light, and he is your light. Now that light also is revelation. We would see all of that. All right. I want you to even understand this is what I have. I have light. But let's see the next verse. Verse 20. Verse 20. The sun shall no more, your sun will no more go down. I mean, it just gives double emphasis again. Your sun shall no more go down, neither shall your moon withdraw itself. So it's not, oh, things are okay today, things are not okay. Oh, things are flowing, things are no more flowing. My sun will no more go down, neither would my moon withdraw itself. Why? Because I'm not dependent on the sun. I'm not dependent on the moon. I'm not dependent on them. My sun will not go down, will never moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be my everlasting light, and my days of mourning shall be ended. God will be my everlasting light. My days of mourning shall be ended. So I will not mourn like people mourn because I have light. Are you understanding this? Because where there is light, there is no mourning. Not mourning like early mourning, mourning like there will be no more sorrow. You know, there will be no more sorrow, because light is the end of sorrow. Did you get that? Your days. Let's read 19, 20, and you're going to make a personal confession from that. 19 and 20, all right? The sun shall no more be my light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give me light, but the Lord is unto me an everlasting light, and my God is my glory. Did you get that? Let's do it again. Let's do 19 again, please. The sun shall no more be my light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon be light unto me, but the Lord is unto me an everlasting light, and my God is my glory. And let's see 20 now. We'll do 20 two times also. My sun shall no more go down, neither shall my moon withdraw itself, for the Lord is my everlasting light, and my days of mourning are ended. Did you get that? The sun shall no more, my sun will no more go down. All right, my own sun is not rising and setting. And no, because God is my light. My sun will no more go down, neither shall my moon withdraw itself. Why? Because I have the one that is constant. The Lord is my everlasting light, and the days of my mourning are ended. All right? The days of mourning. And then where there is light, guys, there's no mourning. All right? You know, people get to say, oh, weeping may endure for the night. And I mean, they're quoting the Psalms. And joy, you know, your joy comes in the morning. So they get to, you know, try to encourage people and say, hey, no matter what's going on, no matter what's going through, it's because the season is dark right now. The season is dark. It's a dark time. Your weeping may endure for the night. You just understand that it's nighttime. Your joy will come in the morning. Wait, your morning is coming. Your morning is coming. No, 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 because my light has come. My morning time has come. So my weeping has gone. Did you get that? Weeping may endure for the night, but joy will come in the morning. I'll change morning. Watch this. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy will come when there's light. Hold on. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy will come when there's light. I'll do it one more time. Weeping, morning, it's now morning time. Weeping endures for the night, nighttime, dark times, dark moments. Oh, I'm weeping, things are dark, things are, oh, I don't know what to do. Oh, things are just bad. Joy has come, oh, morning. What made morning morning was because the sun rose up. So what did the sun do when it rose up? It gave light. It gave light. Did you get that? It gave light. So weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes when there is light. But Isaiah 60 and Revelation 22 and other places now say your own light has come. So if I say joy will come in the morning, then I'm saying my light has not come. But if my light has come, then my weeping is ending. My weeping doesn't endure for the night. It's non-existent, because where there is light, there's no weeping, there's no mourning, to mourn, there's no grieving. Because why? There is illumination. I see, I don't stumble. Why? Because I have life and I have light. Glory to Jesus Christ. Glory to Jesus Christ. Glory to Jesus Christ. Is this helping you? I believe it is. Glory to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I have light. The sun is not my light. The sun is not my light. The sun does not give me light. The moon does not give me light. So we see that Revelation 22, picking it from verse 1, was picking from Ezekiel 47. Then picking it up, you know, picking verse 5 was just basically giving you Isaiah 60. So these are not just prophecies for Israel. These belong to the church. These revelations given to these prophets were given to the church of Jesus Christ. Because Christ is my light. All right? Christ is my light. Christ is my light. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I have life. So I have light. All right? I hope you're seeing the connection of these two great forces here. God could do nothing in the beginning without light. Light is a divine attribute. And light is given to rule. We pick that from when he put up the sun. Light was given to rule. Light rules. And the light will shine in darkness, and darkness cannot comprehend it. Light rules. Light will rule. Are you getting that, somebody? And if you are the light, light will rule. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Light rules. John 11. I would need to use John 11 tomorrow, but let's do John 11 right now. Light rules, light to rule. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you remember Psalm 23? So Psalm 23, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Then he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know? I will fear no evil, because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I mean, David is right to say he will fear no evil, because there's nothing to fear. Why? There is light. Do you see that in the verse there? It's there. There is light. Because the shepherd leads me, light is leading me. Oof. Jesus is my shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd in John 10. And he is light and he leads me. So light leads me. So even when I get into trouble, when I veer off the road, my victory comes by light. My victory comes by light. Light leads me. Light instructs me. Light is. And when I'm like, okay, I'm stuck. Hold on. There's light. Thank you, Father. You want to worship him. And worship him, and then, or you pray in tongues, or do both, or you meditate. Light, I'm not confused. I have an unction from the Holy One, I know all things. Light leads me, light guides me, light. Let's see that Psalm 23 again, you know, the fourth verse particularly. Well, the fourth verse, you know, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because of light. He said, but where's light? It's there. We're going to see right now. It's here. Yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Guys, look around you where you're sitting or, you know, whatever position it is you might be in. If there's shadow anywhere around you, it's because something is casting the light. Do you understand that? I've got shadow here, and that's because there's light casting it off. And, you know, if it were a studio, would, you know, get stuff to bounce off the lights, and the more the light, the lesser the darkness. That, you know, the more the degree or the intensity and all of that of the light, then the lesser the degree and, you know, of the darkness. So it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it didn't say even though I walk through the valley of death. He said it was a shadow, meaning death was present. If we just want to break it down in words right here, death was present, but light was present. So light was casting a shadow, light was cast on death. And then so death cast a shadow on the floor. So David said, I'm walking through the valley, not of death, is of the shadow of death. I'm not afraid. Why? It's the shadow. It tells me light is here. It's there. It's there. It's right here. Yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? I fear never. Why? You're with me. How do I know? Because that's the only way that the death guy could have a bit of shadow around him and cast a shadow on the floor. Because I know, I see light. So what do you see when you're in trouble? What do you see when you get into trouble? You have to see light. You have to remind yourself, no, my light has come. My light has come. All right. And in his light, don't forget Psalm 36. In his light, Psalm 36, verse 9. In your light, we see light. In your light, we see light. Psalm 36, verse 9. In your light, we see light. By him, we see. So he is light. And the more we're fellowship with him, we see the things we need to see. We see better. We see clearly. You know, thank you. For with you is the fountain of life. And in your light, we see light. In his own light. Because he's light. And then he will cast light into the areas of our lives. Your finances, your health, your home, your ministry, your business. It just, now I see. Don't forget Ephesians 1 says, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in his light. We see light, his light, and he gives us light to see. Oh, thank you, dear Lord. Thank you, dear Lord. Where there is life, there is light. Where there is life, there is light. Where there is life, there is light. Where there is life, glory to God. I have eternal life, I have eternal light. I have eternal life, I have eternal life. I have endless life. So I have endless light. I do have it. I do have it. He is the fountain of life. So I sometimes change this and say, in me is the fountain of life. Do you understand that? In me is the fountain. You say, what gives me the right to say that? You connect John 4, you connect John 7. You're good. You're good, baby. You're good. Because Jesus said, whoever drinks of the water I will give unto him, there will be in him a fountain of water welling up unto everlasting life. The Holy Ghost moves into me the moment I accept Jesus Christ. So the fountain moves into me. So in me is the fountain of life. In me is the fountain of life. In me is the fountain of life. So if the fountain of life is in me, then the fountain of light is in me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Do you understand that? Oh, hallelujah. If the fountain of life is in me, then the fountain of light, because in life, there is light. Did you get that? We see the connections all through. In him was life, John 1 and verse 4, and the life was the light. Where there is life, there's light. And light, like E.W. Kenyon taught us, stands for development. All right? It will brighten up your mind. It will bring you intelligence, high-level intelligence. All right? When God blesses them with wisdom, wisdom is life that has light. It's life. It carries light. All right, because how do you know that wisdom has light? I mean, life, you just think, oh, wisdom is light, but wisdom is life. Okay, because Solomon himself said, money is a defense, wisdom is a defense. He said, but the superiority of wisdom is that it gives life to those that have it. All right, money is a defense. So you find people just talking about money as a defense and it's all over the world. And yeah, money is great, it is a defense. But he said, but wisdom is also a defense. That's it, the superiority of wisdom. All right, is that it gives life. So wisdom is, it communicates life. Thank you. You know, communicates that beautiful, you know, substance is given unto us. The excellency of wisdom, King James puts it. Wisdom is a defense. Money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge, this wisdom, that wisdom give it life, you then have the excellency of knowledge. When you understand, oh, if I have wisdom, I have life. But that wisdom is light. Are you getting that? So there's a life. And God gives you wisdom. It's light. It's not just life. It's not just light. It's life. And it's a light that gives life. Did you get this? Because when I have light and I walk in that light, I won't walk into death. I won't walk into traps. I'll walk into abundance. I'll walk into prosperity. So life gives light. Light gives life. All right? Life, where there is life, there is light. Where there is light, there must have been life, or that light is there to guide into life. Because light you shouldn't have light in its absolute sense and then stumble in darkness. Something will be amiss. John chapter 8. All right, we'll begin a round off from there. Thank you, Lord Jesus. John chapter 8. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Could you pray in the spirit, please? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Koroboshige bereke doroboshige biyeke rokodusu biyeke de. Fromo noko shusho biye proko dom proko duso fiye fedeke wusho biye fedeke de. Nan proko doso. Thank you, Father. Where there is life, there is light. Where there is life, there is light. Where there is life, there is light. Hallelujah. Would you want to join me and say, in me? In me is the fountain of life. In me is the fountain of life. In me, don't forget, he is the fountain of life. And Jesus said, whenever you drink of this water, it will be in you a well, King James puts it. For some of that say fountain, a gushing fountain of endless life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So in me is the fountain of life. Father, you live in me. Jesus said, my Father and I will come and make our home in you. And it's from the throne of God and of the Lamb in Revelation, you know, 21, that river is flowing. That was the river, is the Spirit. So the Spirit is coming. So in Revelation 22, you see God, you see Jesus, but you don't see, you know, let's see that. So before, you know, I just want to show you that in Revelation 22, you see God, you see, you know, Jesus, but you don't see the Holy Spirit. Revelation 22 from verse 1. Revelation 22 from verse 1. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He said, and he showed me a pure river, watch this, of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. So the river is coming from the throne of God, is coming from the Lamb. The river is coming from the throne, is coming from the Lamb. But then he begins to talk about in the midst of the streets of it, on either side, you know, the trees of life are green, but it's not mentioned. The Holy Ghost saying, like, hey, where's the Holy Ghost? All right, on either side, you know, bearing 12 manner of fruits, and the leaves are for the, you know, healing of the nations. And where's the Holy Ghost? Because Jesus in John 7 already told us the Spirit is the river. All right, John 15:26. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Don't forget. All right, the Spirit is the river. Watch this. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send, watch this, unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. So the Spirit proceeds, right? And that's the exact word that Revelation 20, you know, 22 that we read just now, just used for us, is proceeding. It says there's a pure river, okay, that proceeds from the throne of God and of the Lamb, is coming forth from God. So it didn't mention the Spirit, but the Spirit is there. The Spirit is there, all right? So you could just say to yourself, in me is the fountain of life. In me, the fountain of life. In me is a gushing river. In me is the fountain of life. In me is the fountain of life. In me, the fountain of life is in me. There's a continuous flow of life on my inside. In me is that invigorating, regenerating, revitalizing, miraculous, creative, recreative life of God. In me, it's in me now. In me is that invigorate and regenerate and river of life in me, in me, in me. And the Spirit is the river. Oh, the Spirit lives in me now, now, now. Hallelujah. Now, 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 now. He gives life to me. The Spirit lives in me, in me, in me. In me is the invigorating life of God. In me is that energizing life of God. In me is the revitalizing life of God. In me, it's in me now. It's in me now. It's in me now. It's in me now. It's influencing my immune system. My immunity is influenced by the life of God in me. In me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, dear Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, dear Jesus. In me, the water of life is in me. The Spirit of life is in me. The water of life is in me. The Spirit of life is in me. It's in me. Hallelujah. It's in me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, dear Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, dear Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, just flow. Let's do what, like maybe 4 more minutes. That'll take us to, yeah. Kora Bahama Haka Shikebedeke Bopro Godusom, yeah. Hey, thank you, Lord. In me, in me, in me, in me. Don't forget, there shall be no more curse. There will be no more curse. Why? Because where there's life, there's no curse. Where there's life, there's no death. Where there's life, there's light. Where there's life, there's light. Where there's light, there's light. Oh, hallelujah. In me. The river of life, the water of life is in me now, is in me now, is in me now. The Spirit of life is in me. Hallelujah. The Spirit of life is in me. The Spirit of life is in me. The creative, recreative, invigorating, rejuvenating. Oh, hallelujah. Regenerating life of God is in me now. That miraculous life is in me, is in me, is in me now, is in me now. Is in me now. My body's quickened. My body's alive. My cells are alive. My cells are alive. Every organ in my system, every tissue, every organ functions to perfection. Every system in me functions to perfection. Every system in me functions to perfection. Is in me now. Is in me now. Is in me now. Glory to God. Glory to God. Is in me now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Eh shaka bofra no ko sho she proto sho fe shi sheba. Is in me now. Glory to God. Is in me. I'm quickened in my body. I'm quickened in my nerves. I'm quickened. I'm quickened. I'm quickened. I'm quickened. I'm quickened. I'm quickened. I'm alive. Hallelujah. 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 My nerves are sensitized by the life of God, by the power of God in me. It's in me, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. It's in me. It's in me now. It's in me and it's in me now. It's in me and it's in me right now. Glory to Jesus Christ. Ega basa tagaba satagaba. Kora basa tagaba satagaba. Yes, the fountain is in me. The Spirit is in me. The life is in me. It's in me now. It's in me now. It's in me now. Diseases, germs, viruses, when they come in contact with my body, they die. Diseases, germs, viruses, when they come in contact with my body, they die. Because the life of God is in me. Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free. Made me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, dear Jesus. John 8 and 12. Thank you, Lord. John 8, 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Where there is life, there is light. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. He will have the light of life. He will have. Do you understand? To have is to possess. So the same way you say, I have eternal life. I have eternal life. You need to add to your confession, I have the light of life. Some translations say the light that gives life. As I said earlier, life gives light. Light is, it's We'll do more of that tomorrow. All right, Jesus said again to them, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. This shall not here also carries a strong emphasis. You know, no, you will never. So we're not expected to walk in any darkness. And darkness here, in Adventus, we read John 11, we'll do all that tomorrow. Darkness here is not... this light is so strong. Let me explain what I mean. Such that if you enter a room that is dark, you still don't stumble because you have light. That's how powerful, because the sunlight was created on the fourth day, but then there was light with which God already began creation with. And God could be separating firmament and doing all stuff and separating water and letting dry ground appear and already calling out vegetation. And there was no sunlight. So he could see because there was light, but there was no sun. And then there was no moon. This is, it's an aspect of divinity. There's no confusion. There's no confusion. And this is, that's why we must be hungry. We must want more of this thing. We must want more. Do you have God's word translation? I think that's the one, you know, one of them gets to, you know, I've mixed a number of them up, but one thing I say, you have a life filled with light, and I think it's God's word. Thank you, there, Jesus. God's word is GW. Yes. That's it. That's it. Thank you. Jesus spoke to the Pharisees again. He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have a life filled with light. I would never live in the dark." He would never live in the dark. Why? Because his life is filled with light. His life was filled. So the same way I say I'm full of eternal life, I'm full of eternal life, I'm full, this life is bubbling in me. We need to start saying this light is in me. I'm full of light. I see clearly. I do not stumble. I do not stumble. Jesus spoke to the Pharisees again. I am the light of the world. Anybody who follows me, and that's you, that's me. Anybody who follows me will have a life filled with light. Will have a life filled with light and will never live in the dark. Will have a life filled with light and will never live in the dark. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Let's see message. Message says that I provide plenty of light to live in. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Jesus once again addressed them. I am the world's light. No one who follows me stumbles around in darkness. And we need to hold on to this, guys. I refuse to stumble in the dark. I refuse to stumble around in darkness. Why? Jesus provides plenty of light for me to live in. There's enough light. There's no need to stumble. There's enough light. There's only to fall up and down and here and there. I have light. And then, like we read earlier, you must be hungry. You must be thirsty to see the reality. If not, these things will just become head knowledge. Light in our finances, guys. Light in our relationship and marriages and in the lives of our children. Light, light. So don't say, hey, my child, when did you become like this? What happened to you? When did you become light? Light, light to see, light to see, light to see, light to see. Light to see, and let's teach the church this is who we are and this is what we have. Where there is life, there is light. Where there is life, there is light. Glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. It's the hand up a question, or the hand up is a glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I have eternal life. I have eternal life. I have eternal life. If you have a question, you could type. I think it's still like 6 minutes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Korabasatagaba. I have eternal life. I do not walk about in darkness. I do not walk about in darkness. Don't forget, the sun is no longer my light. The moon is not my light. God is my light. All right, technically, I mean, he gave all of that to the earth to give light, but he's teaching us and saying the natural would not sustain what I want to do in your life. The natural cannot carry you too far. Would we still not use the natural? Yes, we would. Jesus used the boats, but when the boats were not there, he walked on water. He wasn't multiplying food every day. No, he wasn't. All right? He wasn't multiplying the food every day. No, 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 no. No, but he understood how to activate it when there was a need of it, because he knew, he lived in the constant flow of life. He lived in it. 1 Thessalonians 5:1. Light. In me, I have a life that is filled with light. I do not walk in darkness. I have a life filled with light, and I do not walk in darkness. He said, let's use maybe New King James. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you. But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. All right, verse 3. For when they, please notice it's they, not you, when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they, not you, shall not escape. Verse 4. For you yourselves, that 1 Thessalonians 5:4. You are all children of the light. Thank you. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. Okay, 5 is children of the light. All right. But you are all children of the light and of the day, not of the night, not of darkness. So there's light and day, and you saw that in Genesis. There's light and day, there's night and darkness. There's light and day, there's night and darkness. And the Bible says God separated them in Genesis. There's light and day, there's night and darkness. So we understand, oh, there's light, day, you know, daytime, nighttime. But these things are more spiritual than they are natural. There is light. I remember John Lake giving a prophecy and saying there will come a time, you know, where it will be evident all over the world that the sons of light will meet to the sons of darkness, and darkness will bow. It takes a revelation of knowing that I am light. I am a child of light. All right, we're going to look at all of this a lot better tomorrow. But where there is life, there is light. Where there is life, there is light. You have to understand that I have eternal life. So I have light. And where there is light, there is life. Because this light gives life. All right, it gives life. I am a child of light. I walk in the day. I'm a child of light. I'm a child of the day. I don't stumble about in darkness. I refuse to stumble. If you're currently in a quagmire, light is your way out. All right. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, because all I need to do is light. That's the way. And I'm out of it. And that's why James says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask from God, who gives to all men liberally. What's wisdom? Is life and light. All right. Wisdom gives life. Wisdom is light. It allows you to know, take this step and get out of trouble. Issue is that we're in trouble and our brain is still calculating. If I do this, I'll get out of it. If I do that, I'll get out of it. And I've seen too many believers still get into that. I've been in trouble that I created before. And if you keep saying, if I take this step, you're going to get deeper in the mess, or you'll spend too much time in a trouble you shouldn't spend that much time in. Light. The truth also is that certain times believers might receive that direction that light gives. In his light, we see light. But then they just feel, no, I don't want to take that one. I don't want to embarrass myself if I take that one. But follow the light, right? And as you take it, you see more. And then as you take it, you see more. As you take it, you see more. As you take it, you see more. That's how it's supposed to be. Even when we get ourselves into that quagmire, he shows us what to do, and we take the step out. Shows us what to do, we take the way out. Glory to Jesus Christ. Could you lift your hands where you are if you can? Thank you, dear Father. Thank you, dear Father. Thank you. We give you praise. We honor you and praise you. Thank you. Thank you, dear Father. We thank you. We thank you for the revelation of your word. We thank you. We thank you. Wow. We thank you for so much you poured You grant us to see and to know. Thank you. Thank you for your Spirit, our teacher and our guide. Thank you, dear Father. Thank you. Thank you for this teaching. Thank you for how far it's going. How far it's going and how many, many, many people it will bless. And how many lives and ministries it will transform. Thank you for how far this teaching is going. Dear Father, we give you praise. Thank you for my hearers. Thank you because we're united not just to hear. Thank you because it's an impartation and there's a transformation. We give you praise, dear Father. Thank you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Wow, thank you. Thank you, guys. Gabriel, thank you. So, yeah, we'll see tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern time here. Yeah, and then I know we're from a few different time zones, you know, but largely West African time, which is 8 p.m. your time. So, yeah, we'll be here tomorrow, and then we'll teach life, and then we're majoring tomorrow on light. We've entered that already, and that's what we're trying to do. Glory to God. So, have a great, great afternoon, evening. All right. Love you guys, and see you tomorrow. Thank you. Yeah. Bye-bye. God Almighty. God of mercy. Hallelujah. There's no hiding from your face. There's no striving in your grace, God of mercy. There's no borders in your